Thank you, Tammy and Trudy, and all the work in the past that Linda Lewis has done. But I think the Army wins. Their song played the most. But thank you for your service. What a great church family, and what a privilege to have served in the military and just to be part of a church family like this. But today it's about the Naval Corps. On September 23rd, 1779, Captain John Paul Jones, commanding the 42-gun USS Bonhomme Richard, and a five-ship squadron met a large merchant convoy off the coast of Flamborough Head, East Yorkshire, the North Sea today. The 50-gun British frigate HMS Serapis and the 22-gun hired arm ship, the Countess of Scarborough, placed themselves between the convoy and Jones' squadron, allowing the merchants to escape. Shortly after 7 p.m., the Battle of Flamborough Head began. Serapis engaged Bonhomme Richard, and quickly, recognizing that he could not win a battle of big guns, and with the wind dying, Jones made every effort to lock Richard with Serapis and got them together. It was during this phase of the battle, when asked to surrender, that John Paul Jones is said to have uttered his famous, "I have not yet begun to fight." He succeeded in grappling after about an hour, following which his deck guns and his marine marksmen rigging began clearing the British decks. One of the other U.S. ships, the Alliance, sailed past and fired a broadside, doing at least as much damage to the Richard as to the Serapis. With Bonhomme Richard burning and sinking, it seems that her ensign, her flag, was shot away. And when one of the officers, apparently believing his captain to be dead, shouted to surrender, the British commander asked if they had struck their colors. Jones replied, "I may sink, but I'll be darned if I strike." An attempt by the British to board the Richard was thwarted, and a grenade caused the explosion of a large quantity of gunpowder on Serapis' lower gun deck. Alliance returned to the main battle, firing two broadsides. Again, these did as much damage to the Richard as the Serapis, but the tactic worked to the extent that, unable to move, and with the Alliance keeping well out of the line of his own great guns, Captain Pearson of the Serapis accepted that prolonging the battle would achieve nothing, so he surrendered. Most of Bonhomme Richard's crew immediately transferred to other vessels, and after a day and a half of frantic repair efforts, it was decided that the ship could not be saved, so it was allowed to sink, and Jones took command of the Serapis. John Paul Jones in the Navy is one of those heroes considered one of the fathers of the Navy, and in fact, at the chapel at Annapolis, down in the crypt, is his tomb in the bottom. If any of you visited the chapel at the Annapolis. But the Navy, core values of our military, of our veterans, and all these core values this year, we're talking about the Navy, but same core values as the Marine Corps uses, because they are part of the naval service. Yes, they are. Nod your head back there, Sergeant. Stop slouching. But those core values, they speak of ideals that all veterans share, and folks, we as Americans and Christians should share as well. And throughout the history of the Navy has met its challenges. And the naval service began during the American Revolution, when on October 13, 1775, the Continental Congress authorized a few small ships, because we're fighting the greatest maritime power the world had ever seen, the British Empire, creating the Continental Navy. Isaac Hopkins was appointed commander-in-chief, 22 officers were commissioned, including John Paul Jones. And so from those early days of naval service, certain bedrock principles or core values have carried on to today. They consist of three basic principles. The first is honor. You think of the oath of allegiance, "I will bear true faith and allegiance." Honor. And listen, this comes from the shiny brochure, if you will, at the Navy recruiting website. But listen to the language that sometimes we just gloss over terms that we as Christians ought to understand. So accordingly, we will conduct ourselves in the highest ethical manner in all relationships with peers, superiors, subordinates. Be honest and truthful in our dealings with each other and with those outside the Navy. Be willing to make honest recommendations and accept those of junior personnel. Encourage new ideas and deliver bad news, even when it is unpopular. Abide by an uncompromising code of integrity, taking responsibility for our actions and keeping our word. Fulfill or exceed our legal and ethical responsibilities in our public and personal lives 24 hours a day. Illegal or improper behavior, or even the appearance of such behavior, will not be tolerated. We are accountable for our professional and personal behavior. We will be mindful of the privilege to serve our fellow Americans. For our military, for the Navy, for all of us, but how much more for us as Christians? Honor. Some scriptures that you're familiar with. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then John 5, 23, that all should honor the Son, Jesus, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And then John 12, 26, if anyone serves me, Jesus says, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor. So honoring appropriate people that need to be respected in our lives, like families, parents, honoring as Christians, we should honor the Lord Jesus Christ, God's glory above all. And those type of obedient children, we have the privilege of being children that then are honored by the Father. In fact, President George Washington, great general, but recognized the importance of the Navy. It follows then, as certain as the night succeeds the day, that without a decisive naval force, we can do nothing definitive, and with it, everything honorable and glorious. Did you catch that, Army? General Washington appreciated the Navy. But the second is courage. I will support and defend part of the oath. So accordingly, we will have courage to meet the demands of our profession and the mission when it is hazardous, demanding or otherwise difficult. Make decisions in the best interest of the Navy and the nation without regard to personal consequences. Meet these challenges while adhering to a higher standard of personal conduct and decency. Be loyal to our nation, ensuring the resources entrusted to us are used in an honest, careful, and efficient way. Courage is the value that gives us the moral and mental strength to do what is right, even in the face of personal or professional adversity. Oh, that our, not only for the military, but our nation, for us as individuals, how much more, like I read in Joshua, as Moses had passed away, and here's young Joshua, and God is saying, be strong and of good courage, very courageous, do all according to the law. Folks, courage to do what is right, for us as Christians to stand up and live for God's glory, despite the cost, maybe to our personal well-being. An illustration, not a whole lot because it's secret on the news lately, but SEAL Team 6 here recently, the courage of our men and women and special forces, SEAL Team 6 rescuing the young 27-year-old man in Niger, where they went in and this group of guys, bad guys that had links to ISIS or the Islamic State in Africa and Al-Qaeda, and our SEALs went in and took care of the situation and recognized them. These are the men and women that are standing on the front lines today. Captain John Paul Jones also said, I wish to have no connection with any ship that does not sail fast, for I intend to go in harm's way. Folks, courage. And then, finally, commitment. I will obey the orders of those appointed above me, as the oath says. And so accordingly we will demand respect up and down the chain of command, care for the safety, professional, personal, and spiritual well-being of our people, show respect toward all people without regard to race, religion, or gender, treat each individual with human dignity, be committed to positive change and constant improvement, exhibit the highest degree of moral character, technical excellence, quality, and competence in what we have been trained to do. The day-to-day duty of every Navy man and woman is to work together as a team to improve the quality of our work, our people, and ourselves. How much more, a fortiori, how much more, Proverbs 16:3, do according to all the law, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And Joshua 24:14, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And an illustration of this is Chaplain Howell Maurice Forgy, Lieutenant, United States Navy, serving in the heavy cruiser, the USS New Orleans, during the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor on the 7th of December, 1941. And he saw the men of an ammunition party tiring as they labored to bring shells to the anti-aircraft guns. Barred by his non-combatant status from actively participating and keeping the guns firing, Chaplain Forgy decided that he could add his moral support to the ammunition bearers through the words of encouragement, and so patted the men on the back and said, "Praise the Lord," and passed the ammunition. That's a chaplain. Core values for the Navy, they reflect our veterans. They ought to reflect us. And as Admiral Arleigh Burke, one of the, did an awful lot in the 20th century Navy, but for in this modern world, the instruments of warfare are not solely for waging war. Far more importantly, they are the means of controlling peace. Naval officers must therefore understand not only how to fight a war, but how to use the tremendous power which they operate to sustain a world of liberty and justice. Without unleashing the powerful instruments of destruction and chaos that they have at their command. Veterans, the United States of America, we have core heroes like John Paul Jones, but we have core values: honor, courage, commitment. Those are biblical terms, folks, for us, and reflect the best of Christian service, military service, and hopefully for all Americans. President John F. Kennedy, that's one thing I appreciate about him. He was unabashed in his, he liked the Navy. But listen, I can imagine no more rewarding a career. And any man who may be asked in this century what he did to make his life worthwhile, I think can respond with a good deal of pride and satisfaction: I served in the United States Navy. Can I get an amen, George? May God bless our veterans, those of you who have served, and may God bless the United States of America.